First Chronicles chapter 20. First Chronicles chapter number 20. We're going to read about some things here that I'm going to run by some of the words real quick. You won't know where I said them right or not. Make you guess at it. But I got a thought. And I've been thinking about it, but I didn't mean to preach this morning, but after the young people testified and singing and doing what they were doing, and somehow God just sealed this to my heart. And so we'll look at it this morning. I don't know how far we'll go, what we'll do. We're just going to try to obey God and do what God says. I don't intend to preach a long time. And I know when I say that, you get nervous, but I mean it. Stand with me, please, while I read. 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 4. And it came to pass after this that there arose war at Gerza and with the Philistines, at which time Shebethani the Hushite slew Siphni that was of the children of the giant. And they were subdued. And there was war again with the Philistines. And Lahagani, the son of Jared, slew Lathami, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, whose spear staff was like a weaver's beam. And yet again there was war in Gath. There was a man of great stature, whose fingers and toes were 24 and 20, six on each hand, six on each foot. He also was of the son of the giant. But when he defiled Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimna, David's brother, slew him, and these were born into the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Today, I want to preach on a subject that I know has been used many times, but something today triggered in my heart as young folks sang, and what's happening at camp and what's going on and what I pray will continue to go on. And I'm concerned that we go to camp or have jubilee or do whatever we do, and then not long after that, we're back in the same thing that we were before we went or before we had what we had. I liked what Brother Daniel said over here a while ago, that God did something down inside, a lasting, something deep, something that would last. I praise God for that. I pray that's true with every young person that went, and I rejoice in it. And I want to say this, I'm glad for every young person that testified and said anything about what God has done for them. I rejoice in that, amen. And I realize there's some folk that have made professions and then they see other professions, but let me say this, I'd rather know they really get saved sometime or other than just to go on and say, well, I'm not going to make a profession because I've done that before and it's not real. And I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed to say I'm not saved. I'd rather they just say I'm not saved and get saved and get born in the family of God, and I would see them go on and hang on to something that's not real and let pride stand in the way. Amen. But here they're slaying giants. And David, back in 1 Samuel 17, I believe, David slew the giant. You remember David said, is there not a cause? As he went out there, his elder brother said, you just come to see the fight. And then David said, is there not a cause? Goliath was out there. That giant was roaring and said, give me a man. And wouldn't anybody go fight him? All the armies of Israel was hiding. And yet this little shepherd boy walked out there and said, who is that uncircumcised Philistine think he is? Defying the armies of God. We need some help. And he realized that fact, and he was willing to let God use him to do what needed to be done. I challenge every young person that went to Bible camp, you let God do for you what needs to be done, and you let God use you, every mom, every dad. Don't you throw a wet blanket on what God's done. Amen. They're excited you fanned the flame. Amen. If they're excited about something, you don't feel no excitement. You act like you're excited anyway. Amen. They're up here singing and praising God. We ought to have been shouting and thinking how good God is. Amen. Well, we better pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have to pray again. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for Bible camp. Thank you for the day camp. Thank you for all you've done. But Lord, we need you to do something right here, right now, this morning. I pray for every unsaved in the house. I pray for everyone that's saved now the will of God. I pray, God, for those who are even right now the devil's working on and trying to get them out of this atmosphere of joy and atmosphere of living for God and letting God be God in their lives. And they need help. And I pray the Holy Ghost of God do something special right now. Breathe on us. Move on us to preach. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I was just talking about people making professions and having doubts and fears. I want to say, first of all, we need to slay the giant of doubt. Amen. I pray God would help us realize that fact, that truth. I want you to turn with me in 1 John chapter 5. Turn with me there and let me give you a little something here that I pray will help you today, because we're dealing with the Word of God. We're dealing with salvation. And by the way, let me say this to you. Being saved is the most important thing in all the world. Yeah. Amen. It's not how much money you make. It's not what you have. It's not what you obtain. It's not having a good time. It is not having plate parties. It's knowing you're right with God is the most important thing in all the world. And I pray that God would help us. Now, I don't want to be the preacher that misses telling our young folk and the church and everybody else what's really important. I want to tell you what's really important, and it's being saved. And being saved is more than a mental consent to the fact that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and rose from the dead. It's more than that. If it goes no further than the head, it's not salvation. If it ever gets to the heart, it will affect your life. It will affect the way you act and what you do and what you want and how you respond. Amen. There'll be some giants you'll have to slay. There'll be some giants that have to be knocked in the head and gotten out of the way. And so we're going to talk about slaying giants. And the first one we're talking about today is the giant of doubt. Look in verse number 10. 1 John chapter 5. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. I'm glad for that. Turn back in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 6. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 6. By the way, let me encourage you, when you doubt about being saved, to read the book of 1 John. Sit down and read it. It's not but 5 chapters. You read it in one setting, and it'll help you to understand some things about being saved. And it's not, by the way, being saved is not how you feel. Now, it feels good to be saved, but you're not saved by your feelings. You're not saved by your emotions. You're not saved because somebody told you saved. You're not saved because you repeated a prayer. You're not saved because somebody showed you a verse of scripture. You're saved because the Holy Ghost of God did a work in your heart and brought you under conviction, brought you to Christ Jesus, and you acted by faith and stepped on faith and believed by an act of your will that Jesus Christ is the very Son of the living God, and that he died and rose from the dead for you personally, individually. In verse number 6 of chapter 1, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If you say you're saved and you can still walk in darkness and still live in sin and it doesn't bother you, the Bible says you lie and the truth is not in you. Amen. I did not say you could not sin. I said it, you can do it and it don't bother you. It's an evident fact you are not saved. I'd say this to young folk today. If you say you're saved and you still try to hide things from mom and dad, it don't bother you, or hide it from the preacher in the church, it don't bother you. You never got saved. You've never been saved. Amen. You ever really get saved, you can't hide anything that's wrong and get by with it, because God won't let you get by with it. You say, preacher, you're preaching too strong. No, I'm not preaching strong enough. I'm trying to get it down where it ought to be. Amen. I want you to walk out of the house of God today. You don't have doubt, but have that faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. If you have doubt, I pray you get that settled today. Amen. Look in chapter 2, verse number 9 of 1 John. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Now we'll stop there and preach a little bit too, because if you say you're saved and you hate your brother, and that's talking about anybody else, then that say they're saved, then you're not saved yourself. They may disappoint you and they may let you down and they may do something bad to you, but you cannot hate them. If you hate them, then you're not saved yourself, because the love of God comes inside of you and takes away hate. You can't hate and love God at the same time. Amen. I've heard people talk about the fact, I forgive somebody, but I won't forget it. Well, you never forget it. Now, you may never forget it, but you'll try to forget it. And you won't keep bringing it up every time it come by. Amen. You'll be trying to forget about it and talk about something else. Amen. Good preaching. Amen, preacher. Preach on. I'm talking about getting right with God. I'm talking about being saved, and being saved, being a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature in Christ. And you cannot live in darkness and be saved, and you cannot hate your brother and be saved. These people sit in the house of God Sunday after Sunday, and some people, they literally hate. And if that's truth, then you're not saved. You need to get right with God. You say, well, I don't like this, and I don't like this about them. I don't even like myself sometimes, but I'm saved. But I don't hate myself, and don't hate somebody else, amen. And if you hate them, there's something wrong with you. You say, well, I don't hate them, I just can't stand the ground they walk on. I don't hate them, but I sure could slap a fire out of them and think nothing about it. Well, now, be careful there. You better be watch out what you don't hate is, amen. Hate's the opposite of love, and love is the love. And Jesus, God kind of love, loves the unlovable. And loves those, amen. He loved you when you were unlovable. You wasn't even fit to be loved. And God loved you. If God loved you like that, then you ought to love other people the same way, amen. If you don't, then hate comes in, and hate comes in. It'll keep you away from God. And I'm telling you, you say, preacher, you're trying to make me doubt. I'm saying, if you hate somebody, you better check up and see if you're saved. Because I just read to you out of the scripture that you can't hate your brother and be saved. Is that not what God said? Yes, and it's exactly what God said. I didn't write the book. I'm just preaching it. Look in verse number 15, 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I say, amen. Now, he's talking about people that say they're saved. He said, if you're saved, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man, now notice, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Again, I did not write that strong language. We somehow in our churches today, in our preaching today, and in our attitude about being saved today, we have failed to take the word of God and really preach what God says about it. And God said you can't live in darkness and be saved. You're not really saved. And God said you can't hate your brother and be saved. You're not really saved. And God said here you can't love the world and really be saved. Now I want you to notice what he said about the world. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Now folk, adults and young people alike, we better be careful about what we say we love and what we say we don't love. We say we don't love the world, but yet we're more concerned about things of this world than we are about the things of God. Amen. Fact is, I'm going to back it up here and preach a little bit. Now just hang on what I'm about to say. I want you to get it. If you'd rather stay on Saturday night and rather live in the things of flesh and the world instead of coming to church on Sunday morning, then you don't really love God. You're not really saved. Amen. If it comes Sunday night and you really love things of this world more than you love the things of God and come in the house of God, you're not really saved. Amen. Good preaching, preacher. Preach on. I'm telling you what the Bible said. You can lust of the flesh. And lust of the flesh and the lust of this world, pride of life, and all that. God said, if that's the way you are, he said, you're not really saved. Lust of the eyes, what we see. Boy, we want to see this, we want to see that. We've got to see this and see that. And then we say we love God, come to church on Sunday morning about half dead. Amen. Still coming in, prayed, ready to shout and praise God. Hallelujah. I still say to you, and you say, preacher, you ought not preach like that. Well, people won't come back. If you don't come back, you'll answer to God. Amen. You better come back. Amen. And be here where you belong. But I'll talk about the choir up here singing, and I include myself into this crowd. Amen. While they sing, I raised my hand, and I said, amen. I praise God. But I tell you what, if we's all really where we ought to have been, letting God have his way in the church like we ought to have been, and come in prayed up like we ought to have been prayed up, and not been wrapped up and everything this Saturday night, we'd have come in here, we'd have been, whoo, praise God and the Lamb, hallelujah. Listen, young folks testified, I got saved. And we sat there and, well, that's good. And she was saying, whoo, praise God and the Lamb. They got saved. That choir got up here. Hey, for us to have a choir like that at Gateway Baptist Church, make this old preacher want to run, amen. And praise God and say, thank God it's real, amen. And that choir up there sang, I put it up against any choir, amen. Not to make him pray, feel good and make him think there's something, but because they love God and they got up there and opened their mouth and you could see it in their faces. They sing because they love the Lord. And I say, amen, hallelujah, and praise God and the Lamb forever, amen. Aren't you glad that it's real? Amen. And I pray that we come in the house of God on Sunday morning and knock doubt in the head and know you're saved by the word of God. Amen. And if it's getting to you, then I hope you get saved. And so you can get right with God and you can come in church and say Sunday morning, I want to worship God. I didn't come to play. I came to worship God. Look in verse number, chapter 4, verse 13 of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. I say hallelujah, because we know the Holy Spirit lives with him. That's what identifies with us. That's what makes us say, whoop, is that Spirit of God identifying with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. It's not just something else, it's the Spirit of God. If it's not the Spirit of God, then it's not real. But if it's the Spirit of God identifying with you, inside of you, and saying, praise God, I can't live in darkness because it bothers me, I get under conviction. I can't hate my brother, I can't stand that. I don't love the world, I love Jesus more than the world. I'm more concerned about church than I am about things of this world. And you got a pretty good shape there. You're heading toward knowing that you're saved, amen. But if you don't know that, you better check up on it and find out about it. But let me say to you that are saved, we ought to have victory in our lives, amen. And live in victory and have some joy in there and knock doubt in the head. The devil will use doubt in your life and say, well, I can't have any joy and I can't because of this circumstance, that circumstance. Forget the circumstances and let's live for God. Amen. Jesus walked on the water and he had the victory, amen. I believe we ought to walk on top of the circumstances and have the victory. And Israel couldn't go into Canaan because they had doubt and fears. God said, I'm going to give you Canaan. You can have it. But they came back and said, we can't take it. There's giants over there. And there's problems over there. There's walled cities over there. And Joshua and Caleb said, we can take it. God gave it to us. We ought to have it. And later on, they got to go in. The rest of that crowd died because they didn't believe God. Hey, you can die in doubt and live in defeat and live in the wilderness and wander around, but you can live in victory and have victory in your heart and praise God and shout victory if you want it. You can have it, amen. If you're really saved, we need to slay the giant of doubt. Amen. I can't have real victory and have shout in my soul because of this physical ailment I got. I'm a hurting this morning too, but praise God, I got some victory, amen. I'm glad, praise God, more than the physical. There's something down inside saying, well, pay glory to God. God's real. God saves. God's given victory. And knocking doubt in the head and say, praise God, listen, slay that giant. Amen. You slaying any giants in your life lately? Well, slay the giant of unfaithfulness too while I'm at it. Let me plug it in. Amen. And unfaithful to God, unfaithful to the word of God, unfaithful to pray, unfaithful to come to the house of God. I mentioned Sunday night already, Wednesday night, whatever. And I know some people have to work. Some people are providentially hindered. But when you're not and you let other things get in your way and you just don't come, hey, yeah, there's something wrong with you. You need to knock unfaithfulness in the head. Amen. And we have Sunday school at 10 o'clock. Amen. It's a funny thing to me that we get up and go to school at 8 or 7 or 7:30 or something. And then we go to work at 7 or 8 or 8:30 or 9. But Sunday school's at 10 o'clock and we can't make it. You know why we can't make it? Because we don't want to make it. You know why we don't want to make it? Because we don't want to learn any more about the Word of God. We don't want anybody to teach us. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. But some of you look pale. But this will help you. Amen. I'm telling you, we need to slay some giants. Now, young folk, let me talk to y'all for a little while. You've been to camp. You come back excited. You all stirred up. You're ready to go for God. Well, what about that unfaithfulness in your life? Knock it in the head. Amen. And get faithful to God and serve God. Have youth meetings, get there. Amen. And come to Sunday school, get there. And having things of the church, get there. Be faithful to the things of God. Don't let the devil defeat you and knock that joy out of you that you got now. Get it. Amen. Hang on to it. And moms and dads, you ought to fling the fire and you ought to help them get to church. I tell you why some folk don't come, because mom and dad too sorry to get up and get them out. Good preaching, preacher. Preach on. We need to get right with God. Amen. You say, preacher, you're just going too far today. No, I'm just preaching. Amen. They got the saying about Bible camp and talking about it, and I got wound up. I didn't mean to preach this morning. I was saving that sometime when y'all were in better shape, but I thought I better preach it while I got you here. Amen. And just let it rip. Amen. I'm telling you, we need to be faithful to God. Amen. And faithful to the house of God, faithful to the things of God. Knock that in the head, amen, that unfaithfulness. Knock it in the head and be faithful, amen. And we ought to do that. If you love God, I believe you will, amen. And then we ought to knock rebellion in the head. You say, preacher, I'm not rebellious. Hogwash. Some of you say, rebellious, can't even stand yourself. Amen. You rebel against the Word of God. You rebel against preaching. Even some things I preached today, some of you done decided in your mind the preacher done gone crazy. He don't know even what he's talking about. And I'm going to rebel against that. And Samuel talking to Saul back over there, he said rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And he said, you ought not, amen. It's as bad as witchcraft is. Be rebellious. And we don't need a bunch of rebellious. You know how we have long haired and short skirts and all that stuff on boys and girls? Because they're rebellious. They just rebel against authority. Amen. They rebel against the Word of God. Amen. You're welcome. You know why it all happens? Why people don't do what they ought to do? Because they're rebellious against God. They don't care what God says, what God's Word teaches. They're rebellious. They don't do their thing. Amen. You're welcome for that too. Just want to toss it in while we're heading by. And stubbornness, let me hit that in the head. I'm trying to hurry. I told you, I wasn't going to preach long. But stubbornness, some people are stubborn as a mule. I got a message I preach sometime on a horse and a donkey and a mule. I don't have time to preach all that this morning, but a mule is stubborn. You ever seen a mule stub up? Now, a horse, it'll run, race, and all that. And donkeys will be faithful. They're sure-footed. But a mule, many times, will stub up. Now, a good working, hard mule's good. But most of them will get stubborn sometime or other. And you can't move and save your life. You ever seen a mule stub up? I had a neighbor one time where I lived as a country boy growing up. He had some mules, and he's plowing. And they stubbed up on him, and they would not move. He had them in a field turning the ground, and they wouldn't move. He went and got a two before and beat them, and they still wouldn't move. You say, preacher, that's a mean man. That's stubborn mules. What would you do for a stubborn mule? Amen. He beat those mules, and I feel sorry for the mules. Amen. Finally, they got tired of it. And they took off in a run, and he had to run them down. Amen. That's the way mules act. Amen. And stubbornness, we ought not be stubborn about things. Some people get so stubborn, you can't get them to do anything. You know what stubborn means? It means determined to have your own way. You're welcome. People divorce over that. And people have all kinds of problems over that. And children get all kinds of trouble over that because they're too stubborn to listen. They act like a mule and they stub up. I'm not going to listen. I'm going to have my way or bust. Somebody punched their wife. Amen. And said, I'm going to have a last word or else. I'm going to stub up. Hey, I said I'm going to be short, so I am. But knock that stubbornness in the head. That's one of those giants we need to kill. It's a giant in our life. that being stubborn, we need to get out of that stubbornness and listen to what God says and not be stubborn, but live for God and be joyful in it, amen. And then unconcern is another one we need to knock in the head, and I close with that. We're unconcerned. We need to understand that we're unconcerned. How do you know we're unconcerned? If we're concerned, we'd be bringing people to church with us. Oh, me. And oh, you. Amen. We be praying more for sinners. I know we're living in a day and time when people don't care. You can talk to them, they laugh at you, just brush it off. I realize that fact, but if we talk to enough people, invite enough people, somebody somewhere sometime is going to come to church. Amen. And we can reach somebody for Jesus and somebody get saved, somebody get right with God. I'm glad these folk got right at Bible camp. I'm thankful for all of them and all the others that got saved from other churches. I'm praise God for that. I'm worried about that drunk out there on the street and that drug addict, that kid fixing to go back to school and doesn't know a thing about God, and somebody needs to tell them about Jesus so they can get saved and right with God. Hey, man, we need to slay some giants. We're in a good atmosphere this morning to slay some giants. I mean, we've had good singing. We've had testimonies how good God is. And yet there's giants in our lives sticking their heads up. And we need to say, I'm tired. I'm tired of that giant bothering me. I believe I'll just go slay him. David looked at old Goliath and said, that rascal, he's out there making fun of my God, making fun of the God of Israel. I'm going to go slay him. With God's help, I can do it. And I will with God's help. And David went out there and slew the giant, and Israel had victory. I'm telling you, if we'll slay some giants in our lives, the church can have victory. We'll have victory. And glory to God, we'll all have some victory. Amen. Father, seal the words to our listening hearts. I pray, Father, we forget about everybody else, everything else, and listen to what God has to say about slaying giants. These men I read in the scripture slew giants, and people were afraid, scared, and they run. But Lord, these slew giants. By the grace of God, David slew Goliath. Now in our lives, Lord, that giant that we have, it's whatever it may be, I may have mentioned, may not have mentioned, but God, there's giants in our lives that's a bother to us in our Christian life. Hey, some not even saved. And they need to come and slay that giant of doubt. Know they're saved. Leave the house of God with assurance. Others need to get right with God. In Jesus' name, I pray you rebuke the devil. I plead the blood. The invitation's yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.